This is Pop Wiltfong.
I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
I'm Pat Jansen.
And Mike Canale.
All right, so you know who's here now.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Hey, welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Ryan.
Wow, you need to clear your throat, man.
Yeah, I do.
That's all right. This is Joe. That's it. It's a two-man crew today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No Pat.
Pat's got tech rehearsal. Yeah. No Bob. Bob's got a family.
So we're
gonna do our picks this week. We waited this week to have Pat in town,
and then Pat blew us off
at the last minute. So we're gonna do Pat's picks online. So
we'll put them all up.
Right. So
what is it? We're doing game picks each game?
Each game, and then we're going to go back to those picks throughout the season.
And see what happened.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of did our picks a little bit last week when Bob did his.
But we didn't pick scores, and that's what's important.
Oh, scores are very important. But there's some actual news before our bullshit going through all the scores. Not that it's not very important. It is.
Right. Everything we say is important.
Everything is important. But there's some more, current news. I'm speaking mostly of a Nebraska tradition, which is walk-ons getting scholarships. We all know how important the walk-on program is at Nebraska. I would argue,
unless you were born after the year 2000, then you probably don't know much about it.
Yeah, you don't understand it. But it's the pipeline's been there. Even through the Pelini years, guys were coming through and playing in those circumstances. And yesterday, depends on where you're reading it, either four or five scholarships were given out to walk-ons. Riker Fife, he's had his scholarship, so it was just a continuation. But also Dylan Utter, the lineman, who may be starting.
Right.
Trey Foster.
You think he got made fun of as a kid?
Utter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Cowboob. They call him Cow Boob. Trey Foster, who
they call him Cow Titty.
Yeah, Cow Titty. Cow Titty. Trey Foster, who's the tight end. He is the brother of the offensive lineman, DJ Foster, but he's no longer DJ Foster. He's changed his name as well.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's known as he's going by a first name now.
Oh, I thought you were making like a rap joke.
No.
DJ.
No, maybe that's why.
DJ Easy Dick.
But Trey Foster got a scholarship. His brother was a scholarship recruit. Ross Derzis, who is this year's Gangwish.
So he's going to kill a raccoon with a hammer.
Yes, and he's going to surprise people by playing a lot on the defensive line. And Lane Hovey, the wide receiver.
Ho!
Who basically, I would guess, Sam Burch did not have his scholarship renewed. And he was hurt all last year. And he hasn't, I guess he's still been a little bit injured this year. So these were the only scholarships they had available.
Let me ask a question, because this is confusing to me.
Go ahead.
I thought that when you got a scholarship, it was automatically a full ride.
I think some guys, like recruits who get scholarships, I believe get a four-year guaranteed or a five-year guaranteed scholarship. Then I think they have single-year scholarships. If someone can clarify this and knows, put it on the board in a comment.
Yeah, or
but
Facebook,
from what I understand,
or tweet at us.
There are many scholarships that are renewable year at a time.
Okay.
So if you get a guy coming in who didn't have a scholarship, and these circumstances are, you know, because Nebraska at one point had 88 scholarships, which was over the limit. And then in the past couple of months, all these players have kind of, you know, Stanton left,
right.
and all these players have kind of fallen off, so those scholarships become available.
Yeah.
So that's when they give these one-year scholarships out that are renewable year to year. So that's why a guy like Sam Burch doesn't get his scholarship renewed, because they only had so many to go around. And I think, you know, with a new regime coming in, Mike Riley's going to give them to the people who have shown him they deserve him. You know?
Yeah. How about that case with, speaking of, I don't know how I came to this, but they did not allow the unionization of players
at Northwestern. Well, that is a that's like a legal, you know, labor relations kind of situation. I think that battle is going to be fought over the next 20 years, not just school to school, but more universally against the NCAA. I think players are going to... Here's the problem. What you're basically asking is for a bunch of jock 20-year-olds to unify and go after a single cause as one kind of unit.
Mm-hmm.
When all of them are at different
schools.
And that
cause isn't getting laid.
Right, right. If it's not getting laid or getting drunk, then they're not as into it. And they all figure, oh, I'll get paid when I get to the NFL. And to be fair, they're certainly getting a full scholarship, a lot of these guys. So that's the value of that at a lot of these schools is more than I make in a year. You know, colleges now are fucking expensive.
Yeah, dude.
And all the swag they get too. Like we had your buddy over here the other day. We were shooting something, and your friend who was just what was he?
He was a scout team guy
for Florida.
And he when was like, Tebow played,
and he's like, I got so much shit as like a guy who was just at college and was kind of an athlete.
Yeah,
wasn't recruited to play football. Didn't play football. They just somebody saw him in some contest.
Yeah,
and they were like, hey, come to the field and you know get the shit kicked out of you for a couple weeks. While we practice, and he was saying, who's the Joe Hayden, who's the cornerback for the Browns, would play against him. And
just crush him.
Yeah, crush him. But he was like, I got so much stuff. Nike just gave stuff. Gave it. So not that that's the full value of what you're getting as a player, but beyond the scholarship and the education and all the free meals and all the travel and all the swag – you know,
so if a guy like Jeremiah is getting just unlimited amounts of free clothing, what do you think Tim Tebow is getting?
He was getting, you know,
money.
Well, Tebow's getting money. Tebow's very religious, so I'm sure he wouldn't do anything.
Oh, but trust me, part of religion is getting paid.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, you think of that's what that guy was getting. Jeremiah, who's, you know, great guy.
Oh yeah, Jeremiah's a great guy,
but nothing to the University of Florida. Well, you know, Florida State University, Free Shoes University. Like, these guys, anywhere they go in these towns are heroes. And, you know, for the amount of crimes that are prosecuted and reported, I would bet there's double the amount that don't even make the papers.
Oh, he was – I mean, that's what Jeremiah was saying. He was saying that if you guys knew the kind of stuff those guys get away with, it's insane.
And I've met other people who've played at big programs or been a part of big programs, and they're like, you can't understand how much goes on. Even at places like, you know, Iowa, which is a big, you know, Big Ten school and everything, but not a national power. But I know guys who played there, and
not even Nebraska.
Well, Nebraska's a bigger power than Iowa.
But dude stole bikes. Dude killed a raccoon with a hammer and put it on YouTube. Like, I mean...
Yeah. Shit happens.
You know?
It ain't easy being a football player. You got to have a special mentality. So congratulations to those five guys who got there. And what I wanted to talk about that is that's kind of a Nebraska tradition. You know, four of these guys are from Nebraska. Trey Foster, Dylan Utter, I think Ross Durzis. I think Lane Hovey's from Iowa, actually. But local guys come in, they play, they play hard, they practice hard, and, you know, they're rewarded for their work. Some of those guys, you know, have earned their scholarship more than the four-star recruits.
Oh, probably most of them.
You know, because they've worked harder for it. These guys had to. They didn't have anything handed to them.
They set a lot of – I don't know if it's the same nowadays, but I know back in the 90s, after talking to, like, some of the coaches – the walk-on guys were the ones that set the pace of practice.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, they would just go out there and they were animals. I mean, those are guys that have, you know, been baling hay their whole lives.
Yes. They're country strong.
Yeah. Which it's like grown man strength.
Yes.
It's very different.
And these
kind
guys
of
are going to contribute. Dylan Utter is going to be in the mix as either a starter or a top reserve on the offensive line. Riker Fife seems to be the number two quarterback right now.
Right.
Trey Foster, from what I've read and everything, he's going to get some playing time. And especially, you know, he's a bit of a bigger tight end. So, you know, when they're running, he'll be, you know, like another offensive lineman. Ross Dursis, as I said before, is going to be the Gangwish of this year. And because their defensive line or their defensive ends are weak, not weak, not a lot of depth, he's going to probably play. Because if you're, you know, Gangwish is not a all-American player. So he's going to play hard every down, and he's going to maybe get tired, and then you throw this guy in to just go crazy on somebody. Offensive lineman.
That's what the Huskers need.
Yes.
That they haven't had.
They just need attack.
Just a little bit of crazy.
Right. Yes.
Like the Peter bros were animals.
And Wistrom. But those guys.
But see, I don't think Wistrom was crazy. Christian Peter was batshit crazy.
Maybe. But those guys were also, to be fair, higher level recruits, and like they had that craziness and they had the 4-star athletic skills.
Christian Peter was only recruited by one school.
Really?
Yeah. His brother, however, was recruited by everybody.
Everybody. Okay.
But that's also because Christian's grades were not good.
Right. Okay. And Lane Hovey, you know, the wide receivers, they seemingly keep dropping like flies. So he'll be playing, and Riley likes to use a lot of wide receivers. Now, another thing I read before we get into our season outlook is, and this is something I thought when Pearsonell went down with an injury, I immediately thought of that spring game several years ago when Jamal Turner returned that punt for a touchdown and did that flip into the end zone.
Yeah.
He had the potential to be DPE for a little while when he was a freshman. He was exciting. He's had a lot of injuries. He's in his sixth year. The guy's been there forever. I think he came in with Taylor Martinez as a freshman.
Wow.
Yeah. He's been there forever. And
he's a grown man.
He is a grown man. And I think he has a real opportunity.
Well, they picked the punt returner already.
Westerkamp?
Yeah.
But I also read that Turner was returning a lot of punts.
Good.
Because I want to say Westerkamp.
They both drop them.
Westerkamp has better hands, and I think, you know, that was as a freshman he was doing it, and their special teams were shit that year.
Right.
When he was a freshman, they were shit, and Turner was getting hurt. I think this is an opportunity for Turner to kind of show what he's got, and it's really a last opportunity for him to maybe remind people of the talent that he has, and it would be great, you know, and he gets hurt so often. If he could just last six games until Pearsonell gets back,
dude,
we'll
think
be all right.
You put a, I mean, you know how much speed is if we once we get DPE back, Turner's healthy,
yeah,
Alonzo Moore,
yes.
I mean, we've got one of the best possession receivers out there right
it's
now.
It's kind of funny thinking of how good their receivers are, at least in my mind. When really Nebraska up until this year hasn't been a team that emphasizes that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Nebraska's still been a running team under Pelini and everything. They did the spread a little bit.
60-40, right?
I think so. But, you know, Nebraska's not Florida State or, you know, Alabama or any of these schools that are USC that are producing wide receivers
consistently.
But Kenny Bell's in the NFL. The guy in the Jets, Quincy Inunua.
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 What, is that again?
Inunua is Niles Paul. Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't expect that shit necessarily from Nebraska, but
right.
We put some guys in the NFL.
Well, but they also did turn Niles Paul into a tight end because he's not a traditional receiver.
No, he's not. And I wouldn't be surprised if Inunua, did I say that right?
Yeah, Inunua.
Inunua, if he also kind of makes that same transition to Niles Paul. Kenny Bell is going to be a wide receiver, and he's lucky to be coming in with Jameis Winston. Maybe he'll become Jameis Winston's favorite receiver, although Mike Evans is a beast. Mike Evans from Texas A&M, second year, Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver. He's a beast.
Good. Good for Buccaneers. Way to go, Bucks.
So yeah, that was my report on punt returning and new scholarship players.
Great. I would like to point out that we are on the top six for both Thaddeus Moss.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, hold on while I say this, Keyshawn.
Johnson Jr.
Keyshawn. Not Keyshawn.
Throw me the damn ball.
But is it Keyshawn or Keyshawn?
I believe it's Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson Jr.
That would be so awesome. We were talking about this before we started recording. Imagine having Randy Moss and Keyshawn Johnson Sr. on the sideline watching the games. Oh my God. I'd have to do everything I could to get a sideline pass to a game just to kind of bump into those guys.
How much attitude problem would be on that sideline?
Well, as
you have to imagine the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, but there's another thing, I think, a misconception amongst... Now, look, Randy Moss certainly... Straight cash, homie. One of the best lines ever. Randy, you ever see that 30 for 30 on Randy Moss? Rand University?
Uh-uh.
It's pretty good. It talks about, you know, he grew up in West Virginia, and it kind of goes over his... He went to Notre Dame, didn't get in, went to Florida State, played for a year on their practice squad as a redshirt, or he had to sit out a year. People said he was the best player at Florida State as a freshman, burning people constantly on the scout team. And then he got kicked out of Florida State, and then at Marshall, he basically put Chad Pennington in the NFL.
Yeah.
By catching everything thrown his way. Chad Pennington perhaps had the weakest throwing arm of any quarterback in the NFL in the last 20 years.
Mark Sanchez?
Yes. I think Pennington was accurate. He wasn't an ineffective quarterback. But I think when you talk about attitude and Keyshawn Johnson and Randy Moss, first of all, that was when they were playing and it was a different environment and they had to deal with like practice and shit. Now these are just like rich dudes in their 40s who are just want to watch their sons succeed. So I don't think they have the problem. You may run into the situation where UCLA just had where
Snoop, Puff Daddy's son?
Well, Puff Daddy's son and then Snoop Dogg's son quit the team.
Well, Puff Daddy took a kettlebell.
Right, tried to get in a fight. Now, Puff Daddy and Snoop Dogg are not football players.
That's right. They are.
And so when you're the rich son of
Snoop
a rapper.
Snoop Dogg is a rapper.
Yes.
Puff Daddy is a...
What is Puff Daddy?
He's a...
Producer?
He's a glorified karaoke singer.
Yes, a celebrity. He's a celebrity. But those guys, you know, if you're the son of a football player and you're a good football player, your dad has probably explained to you that they didn't get shit without working hard. Randy Moss is perhaps top 10 talented players ever to play in the NFL, like just on physical talent. That doesn't mean he didn't work hard to get where he was going.
Right.
You know?
There's a lot of those guys that are like that, man.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of guys who are super duper talented and don't end up, like Lamar Odom. You give Lamar Odom Michael Jordan's attitude. And
didn't Lamar Odom start smoking crack?
Well, I don't know.
That's what I read.
Lamar Odom.
Let's just say it's true.
Lamar Odom could have been a taller LeBron James. Like, that dude can handle and shoot, but he still had a great NBA career, but
then he got on the Kardashians and
right,
it all went
well,
downhill.
That'll tear you down quick. He didn't live up to the potential he could have had. Derek Coleman's another guy who just one of the best physical talents the NBA ever saw. And had an okay career, played for a long time, but could have been an all-timer.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Russell, not the most talented guy. Wilt Chamberlain, maybe the most talented player ever in the NBA.
But he was playing in like a super whitewashed league.
True. But Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain going head-to-head, that's where drive and hard work and dedication and just wanting to win. Wilt Chamberlain was physically much better than
Bill Russell. Oh, and I want to clarify what I was just getting at. What I was saying is that white people aren't that good at sports.
That's not true either.
Except for hockey. We're all right at hockey.
No, you could give a lot of examples. You don't generalize.
Give me one white person that's good at anything.
Wow.
Besides podcasting, we've got this.
Oh, yeah. That I will say podcasting is definitely the realm of the Caucasian. But I just think like you're not going to have, if you have those two players, if you have the sons of football players on your team, I don't think you're going to have the perceived attitude problem that you might get with some of these other celebrity kids.
That's true, because you're right. I get what you're getting at now. Yeah. Yes. Because
they're football players.
And they understand what goes into it, and you can't argue with the coach. Yeah. That's a really good point. I didn't think about that.
I think sons of rappers may not quite have that same perspective.
Right. Dude, there's this video, if you haven't seen it, which I hate Floyd Mayweather Jr. I think he's just a real piece of shit. But he has a video called I'm Willing to Die on a Treadmill.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, if I get on a treadmill and you get on a treadmill.
I'll do it until one of us dies.
Yeah. He's like, one of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to lose or I'm going to die on that treadmill.
Well, it's true. I mean, that's
the mentality of a lot of athletes.
A lot of athletes, a lot of highly successful people have borderline psychotic personalities in terms of what they're willing to
do. Competitive. I mean,
you look at this may not be a story for most of our listeners, but here in Los Angeles,
Way to sell that story.
Well, my point is that do you know who the character the Fat Jew is?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's his Twitter name. I'm not being derogatory. That's what he calls himself.
Yeah.
His Twitter name is the Fat Jew. So he takes jokes that people put on Twitter, he cuts out their names, and he puts them on his Instagram page. And he has 5 million followers.
And Twitter and Facebook and everything else.
So and he just signed a big deal with a big agency, and it's a big...
Like the biggest agency in the world.
Right.
Like Brad Pitt's agent.
Yes. And he did it basically by stealing other people's jokes for years and years and cutting their names out of their Twitter jokes.
They got a deal with Comedy Central.
Yep. And that's a guy who doesn't have talent. He actually went to SUNY Albany, where I went to college, which is pretty awful that he's an alum of my college. But he wants to be famous. He doesn't want to do the work to be famous.
That's the thing. Everybody wants to be famous,
right,
but nobody wants to
be. And he's cheating, but he's being rewarded for it. There are people,
well, he lost
especially
that,
out here. He did. He lost a couple deals, but I bet you he's getting a lot of attention. And ultimately,
attention turns into $100,000 advertising campaign.
Right. So what I'm saying is that, like, there are some people who are just, they'll do anything. They'll do anything to get whatever it is they think they need. And I don't particularly like that type of person. But you see a lot of them out here.
You see them everywhere. I mean, dude, even Saturday Night Live, man, they rip stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I guess the moral of that story is Hollywood sucks.
Yes.
That's
why we're in Van Nuys.
Right. Right next to the porn industry.
Yeah.
The porn industry
sucks as well, but it's a different kind of thing. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Jansen with the Big Red Copcast Unshucked. Normally, this segment is done by Bob Wilpfong, where he corrects and clarifies any mistakes we make during the course of the podcast. But during episode 68, I wasn't present, but Bob was. So guess who gets to do Unshucked this time? Yeah, Bob. We start with the biggest flub of the episode, calling it episode 69, when it's really episode 68. So you guys owe me one, if you know what I mean. Early in the episode, when talking about The Daily Show, Ryan brought up Wyatt Cenac. The name got mispronounced, though. Fortunately, it wasn't Ryan. It was Bob pronouncing it Cynic. We know you're cynical of us, Bob, but get it right. And speaking of mispronouncing things, I'm not exactly sure when Tibet became Tibet. All right, sorry, I can't get into this. Bob's better at this, and there's only one thing that went wrong during episode 68 that matters to me. You guys didn't promote my Pat for Nebraska campaign, where I was trying to become the PA announcer of the Nebraska Cornhuskers football team. Thanks for all the shout-outs and the love. Ugh, you guys are the worst. Thanks, assholes. Back to the episode.
So I guess let's give ours. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to give our scores for the season.
Yes.
Bob gave his last week. Pat's going to write his down, and we're going to put those on the website.
Yep.
He couldn't make it today. And then we're going to revisit them through the season. Whoever has the best win percentage and closest score at the end of the year gets a prize.
Wow. Didn't know there was a prize.
Yeah.
I think the loser should have to get the prize for the winner.
Yeah, I think, definitely.
And just for the record, I feel like we do this every year, and then we never go back and look at any of this.
First of all, it's only the second year.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like we've been doing this for like five seasons.
But that's because we started in January.
We started right after the...
Because we wanted to practice before the season.
We started after the Georgia bowl game victory.
Yeah.
With Tommy Frazier's 99-yard touchdown pass to Quincy
Tommy Frazier?
Tommy Armstrong.
Yeah. Okay, so week one, next week. No, not next week.
2 weeks
September 5th, BYU.
And maybe we should spend a little more time on this because it's the first game of the season. I'm nervous.
Mormons.
I'm nervous.
That's Pat's joke, but I stole it.
The Mormons?
Like the fat Jew.
Right. You stole it, but you attributed it.
Oh, so I'm not like
You're not
Jew.
Like him. Yes. I'm worried. I think we're going to win, but it's scary. You just don't know what's going to happen this first week. Like all the practice, all the publicity, all the stories, all the good feelings, all the great interviews, all the different
I know what's gonna
energy
happen.
than last year, I still don't have like a – you can't know. You can't
I know,
know.
I do though.
You do. All right. Well, let me give mine first then because I'm a little
Can
more
Can you hand
uncertain.
Me one of them scratch pieces of paper and I'm going to write
– Here, take this.
No, the scratch. I don't want to waste the good paper.
For the record, listeners, Ryan did not want me to hand him an index card, of which I can look at. There's about 150 here. He doesn't want to waste an index card. He'd rather write on his scratch paper that he has. Well,
environment, man.
You're still using
either,
a piece of paper.
Either be part
the
of the either be part of the problem or part of the solution, man.
I choose part of the problem.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
I choose use once, throw on the ground while you're driving. I saw a guy do that the other day. I saw a guy throw a bunch of trash out his window on the 101.
That shit.
And here's the thing. There was a lot of cars on the road. It wasn't like empty road, guy empties out his trash. Like there's traffic, LA traffic. Guy dumps all his stuff out. I drive by and look at him. And I just look at the guy and he looks at me and he knows I saw him. And I just kind of go, don't litter. What could I do?
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, swerve into the guy.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think there need to be new – like, that's the thing. People can't be held accountable. Like, if someone cuts you off, I think you should get a 30-second, like, window where you can, like, bump them.
Yeah. I've always wanted to have a superpower where if somebody does shit like that on the road, I can just kind of laser their back tire. And it won't blow out. It'll just slowly leak so that they then have to pull over with a flat tire. There's so many people that I, when I'm on the road, I'm not like road rage, oh, I want to kill this person, but I want to cause them major inconvenience.
Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And a slowly leaking flat tire is probably the thing that would accomplish that the most. That's the superpower that I want to have is like, oh.
Or like, what if we all had like cameras?
Soon we will.
Like that we could just record and then when we see somebody do something shitty, we can find their picture,
yeah.
Post their face next to it, the video, and then just blast them on social media.
I often think I'd love to be a CHIPS officer, California Highway Patrol. Do-do-do-do-do. For any of our older listeners, that's the show CHIPS. Because there's so many people where I drive by and I'm like, this person deserves a ticket for throwing trash out their window. Or like blatantly looking at their cell phone while they swerve within lanes at half the speed most people are going.
Yeah.
Like, drives me nuts. Yeah. Anyway,
that's BYU.
BYU.
You want to go first or second?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one because I'm uncertain. They've got a good quarterback. What's his name?
What's that?
Tayden. Hayden.
But he's probably.
Taylen. Gayden. Frayden. Jayden. I forget the guy's name.
Peyton.
No, it's not a Peyton. But he was hurt. Taysen something. Who cares what his name is? We're not here for facts, everybody.
Taysen Miller?
Nah, we'll say Taysen Conway. That's not his name. But the BYU quarterback was having like a great season last year, and he got hurt. And his health will determine a lot in this game. I think they also have a lot of guys who are suspended. They lost a running back. I feel like coming into Nebraska, it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Everyone's going to be excited. Nebraska's going to win a close game. I'm going to say close game, and then it's going to be, I'm going to say 30-21.
Nebraska?
Nebraska wins.
Okay. I think they're going to come into Nebraska. Nebraska's going to be sloppy, but like rabid animals.
Uh-huh.
The fan base is going to be the craziest it has been in a decade.
Okay.
Since Bo Pelini's first game.
Okay.
Is going to go absolutely apeshit, and we win 31-10.
31-10?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it'll be close at halftime, but we'll just run away with
maybe.
It.
Maybe. I think there'll be a lot of turnovers in this game.
We'll wear them down.
I think both teams are going to commit a lot of turnovers. I think – here's my special prediction. 5 turnovers between the two teams.
Here's my special prediction. 2 running backs and possibly Tommy Armstrong all have 100-yard games.
Whoa!
Like, I think there's going to be a lot of running because they're going to play it safe because they know they can beat them in the trenches and they want that W.
Right. Now, both teams are going to have suspensions. 5 Nebraska players are suspended, and I think a bunch of BYU players are suspended. Neither team is going to announce who they are, though, until the game. So tune in at the beginning of the game to find out who's playing on that one. All right. So we both have Nebraska scoring about 30 points that first game. That bodes well.
Southern Alabama.
Now, a little of this depends, I think. I think if the BYU game is a big blowout, then this game's a little closer. I think if the BYU game is a close game, or even a loss, God forbid, then this is a blowout for Nebraska. I'm going to go with 42-17 Nebraska.
Okay. That's actually pretty much what I was going to say. So 42-17 Nebraska.
Yeah.
Just to make my score different than yours.
I'm going to say there's a kick return touchdown in that game.
Okay. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 42-21 because I think they'll get some stuff at the end because I don't think we're not very deep, so they'll probably put in an extra touchdown or two in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
42-21, Nebraska.
All right, 42-21, Nebraska. We both predicting an easy victory here.
Miami.
Do you have a special prediction, though? Mine is that there'll be a kick return touchdown.
For that game... let's see. It's going to be, they're going to just get demolished in the trenches. Malik Collins gets 3 sacks.
Oh, all right. I like that. That's a good one. And now this is a big game. They're all big. But this is,
Miami, Florida.
We won last year in
the
Nebraska.
Hurricanes.
It would be so great to win both these games and then be done with Miami for a while.
Yeah, because we're winning 6-5 in the...
Overall. Yes. Head to head. Now, a lot of those big games we lost to them.
But what doesn't matter?
We've won our share, right. I guess. So it's in Miami. This Brad Kaya guy, he's an NFL quarterback. He'll be in the NFL. He may be a first round draft choice after his junior year. True sophomore. This is a big season for Miami. If they don't do well, their coach is done.
Was it Coker?
Al Golden.
Oh, Al Golden.
Coker's the last coach.
Okay.
Or maybe 2 coaches ago. I want us to win this game. I'm a little nervous. It's the first road game. 24-21 Nebraska.
24-21 Nebraska, Joe says. Okay, so I think we're gonna go in. I think the stadium is gonna be fucking more red than
that
it
was
is.
Going to be my special prediction. On the broadcast, the announcers say more than once, it seems like a Nebraska home game here.
Yeah. I think you're also, my special prediction is that you're going to hear about fights. There's going to be, like, between the fans, between the teams. It's ugly. They're mad they lost. They don't have, I want to say Duke Ellington, but that's the jazz singer.
They don't have
Duke Johnson. They don't have Duke Johnson anymore, who was really their only threat last year.
They had some good receivers who are also in the NFL now, too.
Right, but they're all gone.
Yeah.
Miami
is a school that gets pretty good players, though.
Well, but they never... That's all subjective.
Yeah, they're not Florida State right now. They're not getting those players.
Right. We don't have Randy Gregory anymore, but Randy Gregory is also, I would argue, one of the most overrated players in recent Nebraska history.
Whoa, that's out of left field. What? Huh?
He started so strong and then just ended up.
He had injuries and he was pretty much high every game, apparently.
Well, great. Excuses, you know.
Yeah. I disagree with you on Randy Gregory, but this is that's a whole episode in and of itself.
My whole point is that I don't think that last year was as weird of a fluke as people think it was. Like, people say, oh, well, they actually beat us in the first half. I don't really think they did. And I say we win 34-27.
34-27.
Nebraska.
Okay, 34-27 Nebraska. So far, no losses registered for Nebraska. We've got Nebraska being 6-0, two victories against each team here. And now homecoming, Southern Miss, Memorial Stadium. Brett Favre tries to get back into school at Southern Miss for one more year of eligibility. Does not. I don't know anything about Southern Miss.
I don't either.
Again, this is the kind of school. They're a D1 school. This isn't one of your FCS teams coming in. They've probably got some good players. Again, a lot of this depends on the Miami game. I think if the Miami game's a victory, this could be a tight game. If the Miami game is a loss, I think we crush these guys. I'm going to go with us beating Miami narrowly and then beating Southern Miss by the exact same score, 24-21. Nail biter.
I'm going to say I agree that it's not going to be a blowout. Southern Miss always seems to come in and play hard, if I remember correctly.
I think so. I think there's been some close games.
Oh, wait, last year was McNeese State that played
State,
like,
which is not as good a school as Southern Miss.
But Southern Miss was the other team we played last year, right?
Yes.
That we did blow out.
I think. It might have been Southern Alabama again.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I can't remember. Southern Miss. I'm going to say 28-21 Nebraska.
28-21. All right. Both of us have Southern Miss scoring 3 touchdowns. And now the Big Ten. A special prediction for the Southern Miss game. I'm going to say somebody other than Tommy Armstrong throws a pass.
Okay, I'm going to say there's a huge punt return that changes the momentum of the game in our favor.
In our favor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like in the fourth quarter, like it's tied 21-21, and then Wester Camp or Jamal Turner just like.
Maybe not a touchdown, but like a 65-yard
return. Or
to
maybe
the
a touchdown,
eight.
But okay. But it could be like. Just a huge. They don't have the breakaway speed that.
No, Turner's very fast.
Turner's very fast, but he probably won't be the one getting punts in the fourth quarter.
We'll see. We'll see.
And now
we go into the Big Ten season.
Yep, Illinois.
Yeah, at Illinois.
Or wait, hold on. We're talking to Nebraskans. Illinois
in Champaign, Illinois. We get down there and we drive down from Chicago and we check out the game. You know, the orange helmets and everything. I think,
and it's not just—I'm not making fun of Nebraskans. Everybody that has never lived in Illinois calls it Illinois.
A lot of people do. I think most people know it's Illinois, though, don't they?
I don't know. I would say that's the most common state I hear mispronounced. Illinois,
New York.
I think we're going to beat them easy. 38-17.
Okay, Illinois.
Yeah, and I don't know what they're. 3 running backs get touchdowns.
Oh, wow. I'm going to say, how is Southern Miss our homecoming game? That's so dumb.
Because they put all the conference games in the same, and you don't want to be in Nebraska in November for homecoming.
Isn't that what we did for Northwestern last year?
I thought it was October.
Maybe. Why can't Wisconsin be homecoming? Are they afraid we're going to lose?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Recent history has indicated that might be a loss.
For Illinois, I'm going to go... God, it's so hard because I just have no idea what our offense is going to look like.
Yeah.
If it's pass heavy...
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but I
know... We were all confident 4 games ago. And
well,
now...
I'm confident that we're going to win. I'm just trying to, like, the score. I mean, it could.
Illinois sucks.
But that's the thing, is that if it's passing and they're just dropping bombs on them, it could be 56-21.
Let's hear it.
But if they're running, then it's.
56-21.
Okay, 56-21.
There it is.
And they're going to just. It's going to. They're going to open up the playbook a little bit on the pass because they're going to play it safe the first 4 games. They know that they get DPE back for Wisconsin. They're going to open it up against Illinois.
Maybe.
Strike a little fear into old whiskey there.
Yeah,
let him know what's going on.
Maybe. All right, here we get here. Here's the dangerous 5 games minus Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Northwestern, Purdue, Michigan State. That's their next 5 games. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Nebraska I mean, honestly, Nebraska could lose three of those games.
They could lose four of those games.
Yeah, but I feel like they, if they lost a couple of them, they'd win another one. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like I think it's very possible they could lose Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan State, or Wisconsin, Northwestern, Michigan State, or Minnesota, Northwestern, Michigan State, Memorial Stadium, Wisconsin.
This is where I think we veer off and take different routes.
God, no, Wisconsin has our number. I've grown to hate Wisconsin.
I hate Wisconsin as a people, as a state,
well, I don't
as,
hate
a
them
football
as a
football program.
I don't hate them as a people.
Like, if we were going, like, let's say I would be willing to trade Wisconsin for, say, like, Toronto.
Well, Toronto's a city.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would trade an entire state for a city.
It's a cool city.
It is a cool city.
It is a cool city. I don't know how that trade would work. I don't know how.
Okay, I'd be willing to trade Mexico for Wisconsin.
Oof. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. You get a lot of baggage with Mexico. You know that country is run by the drug cartels.
Not if we take in, you know, this country is
we just
too.
Legalize
we
it,
call,
man.
We call them Big Pharma, bro.
Yeah, right. True. Just get the pharmaceutical companies in there. We got off base a little bit. Oh, man. I want Nebraska to win this game. I'm going to try to jinx myself and pick Wisconsin to win this game. 27-20. Ah, I hate that I said that, but they just have our number.
I'm going to say that
I'm going to say DPE returns for this game.
Yeah, for sure. This is the defining moment of the season, I think. I think that we come in and Riley, this is the most important game of Riley's career. It's going to set the tone for his tenure here.
All right.
Because if he loses to Wisconsin, especially if he loses badly, everybody can say so.
Same old, same old.
Yep. But if he wins, all of the Bo leavers, the ones that actually like...
That's both of them.
Yeah. No, the ones that love Bo...
Right.
...are going to have to shut up.
Yeah.
Unless we just lose the rest of the season.
Right.
So... I'm going to say that Riley comes out and he just opens up his playbook.
Ah.
He has this game. This is the first game where he's going to show everything.
I think, yeah, maybe.
And I think that he's not that nervous about Florida and BYU like he is Whiskey. So I'm going to go Nebraska 38,
ooh,
Wisconsin 28.
All right. Now, Paul Christ, the Wisconsin coach, is like best friends with Riley.
Right.
Worked under Riley. So it's student against master.
And the master will always win.
Well, not always, but we'll see.
It's like you ever try to fight your dad or arm wrestle your dad?
Never tried that.
I remember when I was 17 years old and I was pretty buff and I worked construction and my dad was old, already had a heart attack and shit.
Uh-huh.
And we got into a big fight and I got nose-to-nose with him and I stood up to him.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in my life I'd ever done it. And I... was big. I mean, not big, but
sure.
Big enough.
Yeah.
And my dad tackled me in about 3 seconds and took my hands and slapped me in the face with
your own
hands.
Old man strength is
old
something.
Old man strength. Because no matter what, you just can't beat your dad.
Well, my dad.
Christ cannot beat
my dad
Daddy
says
Riley.
I never beat him in basketball, but he basically stopped playing me when I was about 12. So at the point where he saw the tide turning, he just stopped playing. which is what I would do. So,
I've got Nebraska 6-0. You've got Nebraska 5-1. So
the,
I'm a bigger
Minnesota.
Fan. I'm a bigger Husker fan.
We'll see.
Seven.
I mean, you're certainly bigger. What are you, 220?
No, like 175. Seriously, I weighed myself.
You're 175?
Yeah.
I got to get on your scale and see how fat I am then. Because my scale says I'm about 190 pounds, which is ridiculous. Don't you think I'm less than you?
I'm not... We'll talk about this off, right. Off mic.
Ryan doesn't want to call me a big fat shit. So Minnesota game. Now, see, I'm going off the premise that we've lost a tough one to Wisconsin, and we're going to come back and beat Minnesota. Also in a close game, I'm going to say 31-27.
30, and you got Minnesota.
No, I got us winning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. You got us winning Minnesota. 31-27?
Yes.
Nebraska. Okay.
My big prediction, Jerry Kill misses this game as well.
Oh, man. That's a sad prediction.
Yeah.
At Minnesota, We don't lose there. We lost there a level one time. I was there. I got heckled by a Gopher fan. It felt weird.
Yeah.
I was like, how am I getting heckled by a Gopher?
Right.
I don't think it ever happens again.
All right.
Because if it does, I don't think I could handle that.
All right.
I'm going to go, we beat Minnesota 31-28.
All right. I think what'll be nice is that
I think that
the Spielman recruit, I think we bring him onto our sideline and we taunt Minnesota for having got one of the best players in the state to come down and play for us.
Mm. That's not a good idea, though, because that's putting fire.
At the end of the game, we do.
Okay.
It's a very un-Nebraska.
I'm going to say that we go. Yeah, that doesn't seem like Riley's MO.
No.
I think that what happens is that we go up like 21-0, and then they make a push and just come after us.
Make it close.
And they come back and almost win it, and then we, you know.
And I wonder if Chris Spielman's going to call in any of these Nebraska games, or if there's a conflict of interest with his nephew being the recruit.
Here's my big prediction, overtime,
31-28. Oh,
we win in first.
Overtime.
Overtime.
All right, so we move on to Northwestern. I think Northwestern is a program on the decline. I think this is. I think you're going to see a few new Big Ten coaches next year. And I think Northwestern might be one of those schools.
They really love Franklin there.
That's Penn State.
Who's the guy from Northwestern?
Northwestern is Pat Fitzgerald.
Pat Fitzgerald. They love Pat Fitzgerald.
They do love him. He was a linebacker on one of their good teams. But I don't think they're going to win this game. I think Nebraska is going to blow him out. I think this is where Pearsonell has a return touchdown. I think it's 42-17. I'm pretty high on Nebraska.
Yeah. What was the final score you just said?
42-17. I'm in this all sports fantasy league, which I may have mentioned before on this podcast. And we had our draft yesterday. So you take teams, you draft teams, you draft NFL teams, you draft baseball teams, you draft basketball teams, you draft college teams. Nebraska went after Minnesota, Wisconsin, of course, Michigan State, Ohio State, maybe went after Michigan. In our draft.
Wow.
Yeah. People were down on them.
Well, that's because they're idiots.
Yeah.
People don't know shit. People have always been down on Nebraska. Nebraska was picked as the underdog every time we've won a national championship.
Really?
Yeah. We were like supposed to lose
against
by like
Florida?
We were supposed to lose by like 14 points.
To Florida?
To Florida.
Wow.
I'm sure Bob will double check that for us.
Northwestern score.
I'm going to go with, this is probably going to be another painful, like, we're going to hurt their feelings. In Nebraska, here's my big preview. You're going to see that Wester catch 15 times on television great play, but come on, man, really?
The behind-the-back catch?
No, the Wester catch.
Hail Mary.
The Hail Mary.
It's not his best catch.
It's not his best catch, but it was the most important. It kept Bo Pelini with us for another year.
That's true.
Let's see. I'm going to go with Northwestern 10. Like, I think we would just hurt their feelings. And I'm going to go with Nebraska
112.
51.
51 to 10. Yeah. Wow. God, you'd think that we're Alabama fans with these scores and these records.
Here's the thing. The potential explosiveness of this offense, if they get their shit together,
yeah,
is phenomenal.
Armstrong?
No.
Terrell Newby?
No.
Michael Wilbon?
Turner.
Jamal Turner.
DPE, Westerkamp. Those three guys are there, playmakers. Alonzo Moore. Tommy Armstrong is better than Taylor Martinez. The option. He runs the option like a stud.
He does. He's got great instincts. He's got great instincts. I always thought that Taylor Martinez was just a raw, pure athlete and probably could have been successful at a number of positions because of his speed and everything like that.
But not quarterback.
Well, and hadn't played quarterback. Oh, maybe he did play, but like didn't didn't have to develop those instincts
because
you're
in
so
high
much
school, yeah.
In high school, you just run past everybody,
right? Yeah, that's the problem. And he wasn't like he was running options; he was just running past everybody. He was just
well, like
getting to the edge,
you know,
and cutting.
Eric Crouch was kind of the same way. He never pitched the ball; he was just so fast.
But he could fake the option.
He could. He was. Nobody was better at faking a pitch than Eric Crouch,
right?
Except if you watched, you knew that he always faked the pitch, goddammit. He always faked the pitch.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Purdue. I can't believe we've gone this long with no content. Purdue. Another blowout. Nebraska's like ranked number like 13 in the country at this point. Purdue, I think this one we win 27-13.
Okay. That's actually not bad. Yeah, I think this is our catch game. I think this is the one.
Mm.
And I think it's because Purdue is underrated.
Uh-huh.
And Nebraska is going to be looking forward to Michigan State. Yeah. And we just blew out Northwestern, so they're really high on themselves.
Right.
And we're undefeated at this point. I've got us at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got us 8-0. Or I mean I'm gonna go 21-17 Nebraska.
So we still win. So you've got Nebraska 9-0 going into the Michigan State.
Yeah.
Michigan State may have a better record than Michigan State going into this game because I think Michigan State plays like
Michigan
tough teams.
Michigan State
plays Ohio State.
I think
at this point,
if they haven't played Ohio State yet, I think they go into us. Undefeated, too. Okay, you're up.
I'm predicting a loss here. 28-17.
28-17?
Yeah. By the way, DeMorney personnel, touchdown in the Purdue game as well. Return.
Mm.
The Michigan State game, three interceptions. Three turnovers do us in that game. I'm hoping I'm jinxing it.
I'm going 29-28. Overtime loss to Michigan State.
Okay, so you've got a loss here, too. So
yeah.
We both have a loss here. So, but you still have Nebraska, what, 9-1 at this point?
Yeah.
I've got them 8-2.
Rutgers.
Well, since we both see this as a loss, I see this as a win.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I think a running back for Nebraska bowls over the linebacker, the JUCO linebacker who was considering Nebraska. He was a transfer out of, Georgia or something. Ended up going to Rutgers. He gets run over by a running back. Names would be very helpful to you, listeners, but it's also nice for you to do a little research.
Yeah.
And maybe you can just listen to the...
yeah, we're doing this for you guys.
Yeah, and Bob sometimes does a lot of our research after the fact. So there was a JUCO or a transfer, fifth-year transfer linebacker who was considering Nebraska... Ended up choosing Rutgers to play his senior year.
He likes
run over.
He likes the letter L.
Well, he's from New Jersey.
Oh, so he can't spell. He thinks he's going to Nebraska, but he...
Where does L fit into anything?
Lose, loss.
Oh, okay. This is a far way to go. What do you got for this Rutgers game?
Did you pick your score yet?
Oh, I keep picking like 31-10. I feel like I've got Nebraska scoring 31 points 8 times. You
probably do. You've got him picking 31 once.
Oh, well, there we go. We'll do 31-10.
31-10 to Rutgers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 31-10.
Whoa.
Just because I have no idea. I don't know anything about Rutgers.
They're a team on the rise, if only because now they're in the Big Ten.
Iowa.
I think we beat them and say bye-bye, Kirk Ferentz. I really feel like there's going to be maybe 3 new coaches in the Big Ten next year.
I could see 2.
Well,
3 if you think that D'Antonio dies of a heart attack.
Oh, God, I don't think that. I think Ferentz is gone. I think Kirk Ferentz, this is his goodbye. Now, again, Iowa's beaten us in Memorial Stadium. I think their
whatchamacallit, morale, I bet, is down for this game because I don't think they're going to do so hard.
Here's the thing. A lot of teams, and this happened with Colorado, which I know you don't consider a rival. But I think teams like Colorado, I think Northwestern, I think Iowa, they get up for that Nebraska game.
Because it's like the biggest game that they could possibly win.
For them, it's a huge game. And I think they get up for it a lot more than we do a lot of times. And after Colorado.
Under Pelini.
Yeah, that's true.
Different coach.
Different regime.
Old school mentality of, you know.
Well, after Colorado beat us a couple times, I feel like we took them seriously and we served them up some beatdowns after that.
We always served them up some beatdowns.
Not always.
They beat us like twice. And it just so happens that one of them was when they beat us like 71-14.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. 71-14, good, you got us once, but we beat you 84 times.
I would bet the record is closer than 84-2 against Colorado.
We'll look it up.
We'll look it up.
I'm gonna go that it's we probably played him for I'm gonna say that the final record between Nebraska and Colorado is 76-4.
Okay. I think it was less games than that. I'm going to say the record was like 50-10.
That's still a pretty much a passionate ass whooping.
Yeah, that's a high. That's 50-10. We'll look it up after, or maybe Bob will look it up. I mean, I forget how easy it is to just kind of throw shit out there and correct it later on. But I'd be curious to know. All right, so we both have. Did we give a score on that game?
Yeah. Oh, Iowa, no. You're up, Iowa.
42-3.
Oh, Jesus. I hope. I'm going to guess.
Pearsonell with another touchdown return.
It's Iowa. I think we're going to break an NCAA record. And we're going to go 91. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to go, I think we're just going to go off. 56-9.
Whoa.
Love it.
Either of those scores would make me very happy.
Yeah.
Day after Thanksgiving. Who knows where I'll be. Soup kitchen somewhere.
And it's going to be like.
Getting those leftovers.
It's going to be like 14-9.
Yeah. Right. That's what it'll be.
And then it's going to be like. No, I'm saying. And then we're just going to.
Oh.
Go off.
Oh, I see.
Like they're going to stay in it for like a quarter maybe.
Got it. They'll be up 9-0.
And Jamal. Like everybody's going to get a punt return or a touchdown.
They just start throwing. Gangwish.
Yeah, so then you have us losing to
Michigan State and Wisconsin.
Michigan State and Wisconsin. That may or may not let us get into the Big Ten Championship.
I think it would get us in.
Let's say that we get in. Let's just pretend that we do because we made Bob pretend.
Right.
And let's pretend that we're playing Ohio State.
We'll lose that game.
What's the score?
42-14.
Oh, wow. You really.
Ohio State is like an NFL team.
No, they're beatable. You can't play every quarterback at the same time.
No, but they can play.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go. I do think we lose.
I think it's smart, by the way, that Braxton Miller has taken himself out of the quarterback competition. Because with his arm injuries and his other skills, his future in the NFL is not at quarterback.
No, it's at.
It's a wide receiver, kick returner kind of thing.
Right. Okay, so let's go 38-17 Ohio State.
All right, so we both have Ohio State. And then we'll probably end up playing a, you know,
I think we play
middle
one of the,
to upper tier SEC team in a New Year's Day bowl.
Okay,
like
so.
Like Citrus Bowl or something.
Oh, so let's predict bowl game and let's just go all out. Bowl game.
I'll say Citrus Bowl against Arkansas. Brett Bielema. They got Ricky Towns. They just got the USC transfer who went to USC for about he early enrolled in January as a freshman, and then he just dropped out a couple weeks ago, and now he's going to Arkansas. He can't play this year, but he's a big-time prospect. It won't affect the bowl game, but I have us winning against Arkansas because I hate Bielema. I go 27-24
Nebraska. Okay.
Citrus Bowl against Arkansas.
Now, how does the playoff system work? Those are separate games from.
We're not in the playoff.
I know that. So Orange Bowl is still a bowl.
Playoff.
That's a playoff game?
Yeah.
What are the playoff games?
It rotates. There's six of them, and so it's like. Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl, maybe the Cotton Bowl.
So, like, but those are all in the playoffs.
Well, they rotate. Some years they are, some years they aren't.
So is Fiesta Bowl?
I don't know. They change from year to year.
Hmm. And this year, for sure, the Orange Bowl is a bowl. Is a...
I have no idea.
Okay,
say the Orange Bowl.
I'm going to go
say Orange or Fiesta, whichever isn't in the playoff.
I'm going to say Orange or Fiesta, whichever isn't in the playoff. Probably the Orange. And I'm going to say that we end up playing Baylor.
Oh.
Because I think that Baylor will not get in and TCU will.
Okay.
And
Baylor's in some trouble, by the way.
And I think that this is Riley's like, yeah, dude, I'm going to get it. I think we beat Baylor.
Wow.
I think we beat Baylor 21-17.
All right.
Nebraska, two losses on the season.
Baylor will not be held to 17 points in any game this year.
They have not met Malik Collins.
They have a tight end who's 400 pounds.
Great.
He probably will not be playing at that point because I feel like a guy that big playing tight end is bound to get hurt.
Oh, I mean, how do you...
A body that big can't sustain a full season. At
a body that big can't sustain a whole game. He'll be out of breath by the middle of the second quarter.
That's true.
And he's going to be like one of those guys. He's going to be like a Warren Sapp where he's just going nuts the first quarter and then fourth quarter
he's
on a knee.
Well, also play him as like a sixth lineman. When you got a guy who's 400 pounds on the edge at tight end.
But then every once in a while the refrigerator parry his ass?
Well, yeah. He'll just send him out on a pass pattern. Remember that touchdown that Alex Lewis caught last year?
Yeah.
I mean, damn. It was a real touchdown. They disallowed it, but that was a cool play.
Yeah, it was a cool play. That was against USC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that... So I have us going 12-2.
I have us going 11-3. I think either of those would be very satisfactory first seasons.
Yeah.
I honestly think 10-3 would be a very... not getting into... Well, you want to get into that championship game.
Yeah.
But even 10-4, I think, for a first season of Riley...
I think the only way we don't get in is if we lose to Wisconsin, which is a much bigger deal, I think, than people realize.
Yeah.
I think people will get really upset if we don't beat Wisconsin.
Yeah. We could have another 9-4 season.
We could. We could have another 7-7 season.
We could have an 8-5 season.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be 7-6.
Or 7-6, I mean. Sorry.
I don't think we'll be 7-6. I think we'll be at least 8-5.
Because, I mean, you could potentially lose to, like, okay, what's the worst case scenario? We lose to BYU. We lose to Miami.
We lose to Wisconsin.
We lose to Minnesota.
We lose to Michigan State.
We lose to Iowa.
Well, that would be a 6-6 season. And then you go to a shit bowl game and hopefully win that.
Mm-hmm.
So 7-6 would be the worst case. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 7-6 would be the worst case. I think 9-4 is... I think we're plus or minus one game. I think 9-4, give or take a game, one way or the other, is where we're going to end up.
Okay, I think we're going to end up 12-2. So.
All right.
I hope so.
I hope you're right, Ryan.
All right, so, yeah, dude.
So we got good stuff coming up in this week. We're going to record an interview, right? And then we got other things. I can tease this. Mike Hall from Big Ten Network will be joining us in the next couple of weeks whenever we can.
At some point, yeah.
So
we have more interviews coming up. Yep. I don't want to say because every time I do, I jinx this.
Yeah.
So I'll wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Hi again, everybody. Kent Pavelka telling you the Big Red Topcast has got it.